As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus Boreali with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and in today's discussion, we dive into what the natives called sky people, something that these two investigators stumbled on from their recent work, which seems to have a lot of commonalities with more recent experiences down to the description of what these beings look like. But before we get into all of that, we, of course, have to fly through the front of house stuff first. Don't forget to follow Inquiries of All Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and Facebook. And if anybody is interested in a full list of podcast production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media, something I'm trying to do to make a little bit of extra money and continue on pushing to be able to do all of this type of stuff full time. And for anybody that's looking for video content, don't forget to go and check out Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok. And if you want to join the discussion, you can always become a member of the Open Minds Media Discord. Always awesome. It helps to grow and expand the show and community. And if anybody has an encounter report, you guys can report it to ommencounterreports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree and there is a specific submission form for that that goes to that specific email. But I don't care how big, I don't care how small it is. I absolutely loved to hear about your guys' experiences. And if you're relatively close to me, I might even be able to get out and possibly even investigate it myself. And if anybody hasn't already checked out Bizarre Encounters, highly recommend that you do. That's my other awesome show that I do with my co-host Oren over there. A lot of the time we deep dive into different stuff, so a little bit of a different format than this show, but definitely covering somewhat of the same topics. And we also do an extension of that called Bizarre Inquiries, which is our short form Patreon / once a month YouTube show. So if anybody wants to submit any questions for that, you guys can get up with me through social media and submit your questions so that we can discuss them on the show. And if you guys want to support the show, you guys can do so through the Open Minds Media Patreon. Over there, there's multiple tiers, semi-recently updated, a lot of awesome benefits. There's also a 7-day free trial for the $3 tier and the $5 tier. So definitely worth going and checking out. And I appreciate you guys for going and trying to support and help out my work. And you guys can also support the show through the Open Minds Media merch store. And if you guys become a Patreon member, then you guys will get exclusive merch store discounts. So highly recommend doing both, of course. Of course, have to give a big shout out to all of the people that sponsor the show and / friends in the community. I know Squatch. Don't forget to go and check them out for all of your Squatchy gear needs. And you guys can also check out Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And you guys can also go and check out Snarly Yao for his fantastic beard and body products that smell of smoky cedar with a hint of mint, which is absolutely fantastic. I use the beard balm and the beard oil every single day. Absolutely love the soap. I think you guys will really enjoy it too. And if you guys are looking for events to attend, Dave / Snarly Yao puts on a lot of awesome cryptid-related events. So if you guys are looking for stuff to do in the next upcoming months, he's always throwing events. So you guys can go and follow him on Instagram to be able to keep up on all the fantastic stuff that he's doing. And to all my paranormal investigators out there, don't forget to go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. A lot of new updates have come to that recently, expanding into an app, all that really cool stuff. So if you guys have any questions about that whatsoever, you guys want to pick up a device yourself, you guys can always go and hit up Barry over there on Dimension Devices. He is the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions. And if you guys decided that you want to pick one up for yourself, don't forget to use the affiliate link that's down in the show description. Greatly goes towards helping the show, and I appreciate you guys for using that. And with all of that, everything that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome back to the show authors and researchers Dan Baldwin and George Sewell. How's it going today, guys?
It's going pretty well.
Going great.
Things keep getting more and more interesting.
Hey, that's always a good thing to hear, at least for the sake of these conversations. I always love to hear new, interesting stuff going on. And I know that you guys have a lot of new stuff that you guys are working on and a book that should be coming out, I think you said, beginning of like next year or end of this year?
We're going to shoot for end of this year.
End of this year.
Yeah.
So I guess for anybody that may not have listened to the last conversation, we don't have to get into it as in-depth as we did last time. Yeah. But for anybody that may not be familiar with your guys' work, why don't you give them a little bit of background about you guys and exactly what you do?
Okay, well, I am, let me start with me. I'm a full-time writer, author. I do ghostwriting for other people. I also write novels in many genres, and last several years I've gotten into paranormal nonfiction, and that's included spirit work, looking at haunted houses, haunted mines, haunted ghost towns, things like that out here. And then as George will tell you shortly, I got a call from George about possibly investigating a UFO experience. So George and I have been looking into the UFO experience, and that's led us into the upcoming book, which is on UFO contact with Native Americans and what we would call the Sky People. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
So for anybody that may not be familiar with the term Sky People, I mean, assumably you can kind of guess that they would be aliens, but of course, coming from like the Native perspective, they didn't necessarily label them as that, but rather again, like gods or some type of beings that came from the sky. But what exactly led you guys down the path of starting to connect that with the research of your last book?
Well, first off, Sky People is the phrase that many of these indigenous populations use to describe these encounters. I mean, that's what they call them, Sky People. And we were wondering, okay, what did that contact consist of? Because a lot of this went way back, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And what would that contact be like? And we decided, let's just take a look at the sky people and our ancient ancestors and what was going on. And we kind of landed on several, if you will, historic village sites, some in Louisiana, some in Arizona, some in Utah, where we were able to, using the pendulum and also some of our other psychic researchers, to take a look at what was happening at these locations at this time when the sky people were present. And it was surprising in quite so many ways. Eventually were able to address a specific group of sky people, and in particular, the individual.
Did we lose somebody there?
Yeah, I think you may have cut out for a second.
But let me continue, and then when he pops in, I'll stop, and we can continue for there. If that's all right, we won't have any dead air.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Yeah, okay. Now, what we were finding out was, you were asking about the term sky people, and we use that phrase frequently. One of the interesting things is George is back there in the mound building culture, back, you know, down the Mississippi and up the Red River and all those far eastern sites. I'm out here in the west where we have the pueblos and we have the cliff dwellings. And one of the interesting things that we're looking at is how much their experiences are alike. You got two entirely different cultures with two entirely different, ways of living. Hey, there you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm halfway through you talking, everything just completely like froze up from both of your guys' cameras.
What's that? I don't know what I said, but I'm sorry. whoever I pissed off, I apologize.
What was particularly intriguing in visiting his various locations, we would, in the process, ask for a description of the sky people. And what was totally unexpected is every village that we talked to, in regardless of the time frame in Louisiana, in this area, the sky people were described as basically humanoids. They're a little taller than the natives. They tended to be very light-skinned. They tended to have very long blonde hair and were described as generally having blue eyes. And that's a description that is found all over the place in this particular subject. So I was really struck by the continuity of the sky people, and that these may very well be exceedingly long-lived beings. But that was something that was very consistent in the several villages and time frames that we investigated.
See, and assumably that probably plays into part of why when Europeans came to America, that they had such an issue, or the natives, they just kind of got like trampled by them, unfortunately, was because assumably they may have saw them as like the sky people or as the gods. And assumably also, in those stories, they probably gave him some type of like gifts, like learning how to do agriculture, or maybe even learning how to like fashion different types of weapons, I assume, too. So maybe they, again, were thinking that like when the Europeans came, that they were actually the same beings, especially considering that from the description that you were saying, kind of reminds me of like the Nordics and how people describe them. And it seems like the Nordics are one of the races that seem to be the closest related to humans visually, where, you know, if you mix a Nordic into a crowd, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference that one was extraterrestrial versus the rest of the crowd, besides maybe just certain specific features, like maybe just a little bit taller height than average, or maybe that uncanny valley feeling. But other than that, it's like, it's hard to pick them apart.
Correct. I need to jump in here real quick with something. But at least out here in the West, is two things. Working with the pendulum allows us to have extended conversations. You know, it's not like your typical, quote, ghost hunting experience where you hope to hear a word, maybe get an EVP or a knock or a feeling or something. Using the pendulum dowsing techniques, we can have, George and I've had conversations up 10 to 20 minutes with people who have crossed over. And that kind of lends credibility to some of the information that we've gotten. And one of the questions I ask consistently out here to the spirits, you know, did you think of, or do you think of the sky people as gods? And consistently we got a no. They viewed them as, you know, advanced people, but as people. They never thought of them as gods.
Did they, you have any type of, like advanced, I don't want to say necessarily like weapons or anything like that, but like advanced technology that would have made them, made it seem more magical than anything, where like in some of the depictions, rather than it actually being associated with a technology, it would have been associated more with like a magic when the natives were talking about them?
I don't think so. Again, we're basically transcribing information from a bunch of different sources, so we can only report what we've heard. But the people out here were engaged in trade with the sky people, and what they traded was ideas. Mm-hmm. They didn't trade hardware or techniques or something, hardware or, you know, gold and silver or tools or whatever. They traded ideas, which I found fascinating.
Here.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yep, same here.
Do you guys have any examples of some of the like ideas that they may have been talking about?
The one thing that I got was primarily spiritual and medicinal. I didn't get into details with it, but it was, again, spiritual and medicinal, and heavily on the spiritual side. A lot of times, the whole village or the whole clan or the whole group would see the sky people, but only the chief or only maybe the shaman would go aboard and actually have contact.
Yeah, and that was the same that we found here in Louisiana at the various sites, that it was the shaman or the chief, if you will, who actually could go on board. And in the instance of one chief at a Mississippi village that Dan visited, we followed his story, and he was given quite the tour of outer space, which just dazzled him, of course. And upon return, he was describing to his family what all he had seen and experienced, and they wanted to go up too. So the whole family went. So there was a lot robust interaction between our ancestors and the sky people that we were just totally not expecting. And but it was amazingly consistent. That was what impressed me so much. And there was physical interaction. I mean, the sky people could reproduce with the humans. So that's where a lot of early ancient, if you will, leaders were these hybrids. That was kind of where their bona fides for leadership were established.
Yeah, something we discovered, which was kind of surprising initially, was, you know, you would think that they... You see a flying saucer coming out of the sky, and you're a Stone Age person that you would be terrified, and they really weren't scared. Certainly not the shamans and the chiefs, and the people in general weren't frightened. A lot of them were unnerved for a little while, or like you normally would, but they got to where they the trips weren't regularly scheduled, but when the sky people showed up, they were more or less welcome. That, you know, the people didn't scatter, run to the hills, or run and hide. They were pretty well welcome, accepted whenever they showed up.
Yeah, same thing we found.
Say, does it seem like with more of an understanding that these may be exactly the same as like the abduction experiences that people are experiencing today, but the only difference is that they're welcoming of it and they have an understanding of it, that they are trying to possibly give them like you said, beneficial things such as like medicines, knowledge, things like that, where now you have a lot of these like UFO abduction experiences and they'll end up actually helping people with ailments, but rather than, you know, feeling like, you know, like a comfortable feeling from these beings, like they want to get picked up again, they still have these like traumatic experiences, and through maybe not so much of an understanding of what's actually happening. Like, I'm kind of curious if there's like a communication barrier there, where like nowadays maybe these extraterrestrials are trying to communicate and tell people what they're trying to do, but people are just so thrown off by like the modern day concept of aliens, sci-fi, all the weird stuff going on and all the different stuff that Hollywood kind of instills in people's minds, where back in the day when the natives were communicating with these things, they didn't actually have any point of reference to speak of. So they were just coming down and interacting with them straight up without having any type of like previous condensation of what these things' intentions or what they could be trying to do.
I think the ancestors...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, the ancestors appear to have been much more psychic than we are now. Mm-hmm. So there was more of that kind of communication. And the sky people... they were welcomed. Okay. It wasn't a scheduled thing, but they were welcome. They interacted. They produced children. They taught knowledge. They learned a lot from the natives as well. The closest we came across to any kind of edge to it was Dan and I were having a session in Shreveport at a village site on the Red River, and we were able to converse via pendulum with one individual who was at that village 1,000 years ago or sometime like that. And we asked him, was he aware of the sky people? Oh, yes. And was trying to find out how he was affected or how the villages were affected by their presence. And what we came up with is nothing fearful by any means, but he disclosed that he was intimidated by them.
Yeah.
And intimidated because they knew so much. They were so smart and they knew so much. And that just kind of awed him. And he described it as intimidation. But that was the closest to a negative, if you will, that we came up with in our research in Louisiana.
Yeah, out here I ran into pretty much the same thing. It was the interviews I've had mostly were with basically farmers or warriors, not so much with the shamans, although I've had one or two conversations with shamans. But the average Joe, I ask him, did your people go up? I would get a yes. What was it, the shaman? Yes. Did you ever go up? No. Would you want to go up? Oh, no. But again, it wasn't it wasn't like he was terrified or something. It would be like somebody afraid to go on a roller coaster. I don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. I did have one interesting thing. I was talking to about the craft, and I was at a sandy area, and I said, if I draw some things in the sand, will you be able to answer questions? I got a yes. So I drew a box. I said, did the craft that the sky people came down on look like this? I got a no. Then I drew a circle. Did it look like this? I got a no. And then I drew a profile of your typical UFO flying saucer. I said, did they come down in something like this? And I got a clear yes. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was actually about to be my next question, was how they describe these crafts. And just out of curiosity, I dug into the Pueblo clones for a while, which seemed to be kind of like the same condensation, that they talk about them like they came down from the sky, but rather than like bestowing, maybe they were kind of bestowing knowledge on them in a way, but they talked about how they pretty much would just go beyond the usual for society and almost show that, like, not to take things seriously, not to be an extreme of this, but teaching them like lessons in a different way. But like from your guys' research, have you guys had any interaction or any talk about the Pueblo clowns as far as sky people go?
Not specifically. It just that the only thing we've got really were that sky people were people who came down in crafts. I think probably we're talking, 700, 1,000, 1,500 years ago, over the decades, all kinds of stories have probably, modified the tale quite a bit. But consistently what we got were people in craft coming down and trading ideas.
And this seems to be kind of the same concept as like what people talk about with like the Anunnaki, or they talk about with like the Nephilim, for example. Like, it seems like it's one of those things that it's just like Sasquatch, for example. It's something that is so prevalent in multiple different societies that may not have even had any type of communication with each other, that it kind of pushes the fact that there was something to it. And whether you want to believe it from like the biblical perspective or the extraterrestrial perspective, there was definitely something weird happening that people were trying to explain in the best way that they could at the time, without really having much of a back behind it. It's just kind of like the experiences were happening to them directly, and they are trying to understand them as they go, instead of being able to kind of step back and make all these connections between all of these ancient societies, like we're able to now. We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Interesting thing is that George and I do a lot of research whenever we can get together, but we're also doing our individual research 1,200 miles apart, and we're consistent, and we've also got, volunteers going out with us, and we're consistently getting the same, across the board mm-hmm. information. So I'm real confident with what we're coming up with. If you're working with a pendulum, you can make the thing go any way you want to. If you do it right, you're going to get correct answers. And our answers, we must be doing it right, because our answers are consistent.
It seems like there's definitely something that needs to get told. There's definitely a story that needs to be uncovered, and you guys are getting pushed towards it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of adding on to what Dan just described, in our recent sessions, we would have a medium, if you will, who very, very skilled, and she's presented a great deal of information, and then she's describing what's being presented. Now, at the same time, at the same table, we have a very skilled pendulum dowser. And basically, the pendulum is swinging in the yes fashion, which we're interpreting as the pendulum is saying what she is describing is accurate. So a little bit of check and balance on that particular angle.
Yeah, in terms of check and balances, this is your audience might find this interesting, but we did some sessions back when I went over to Louisiana with George, and we had three dowsers and two mediums. And so the dowsers, one would face east, I would face west, George would face north, so we couldn't see each other. Medium would look the other direction, and then we would have somebody else ask the questions. So there was no way that the medium could read the body language of me and George, or see the pendulum. George and I are in the other dowser. We couldn't read the body language of the medium. So there's no way we could, cross-pollinate and coordinate our answers. And again, consistently, she would ask our questioner would ask a question, and all four of us would come up with the same answers.
Just out of curiosity too, actually kind of a two-part question. You guys kind of described like the Nordic seeming to be kind of like the main look that you guys have heard that they look like. But have you guys had any reference to like what people would describe as like the modern day gray as far as these things go? And the second part to that question too, so assumably they kind of describe them as coming down from the sky, but have they like reiterated that a little bit more, meaning that like have they seen them come down directly from the sky, or have they made any kind of reference to these things coming from possibly another reality, considering that you're kind of talking about the more spiritual side of things? That could either be explained through the fact that these things communicate through some type of a telekinetic ability, or it might be because there's something that may not be physical within this reality. Because I know that there are a lot of references to the natives talking about, not necessarily using the same terminology as portals, but like other realms and things being able to come from other realms. And it seems like there's usually a pretty common idea with that, with these things coming from like mountains and caves. So when people say something comes from the sky, it's a matter of language of, are these things coming down from the sky, or might they be coming down from like mountaintops, for example, where you kind of have that idea about there being like possible openings to other realities within inside caverns or inside caves in that mountainside.
Let me answer the question about the grays, and then let George take the portal answer, if that's okay with you, with you, George. But in terms of the grays, I have consistently gotten only the Nordics, and I've asked again, Arizona and Utah. I've asked, were there any little gray people? And I would describe, little people, big heads, large almond-shaped eye, dark eyes, shorter. And so far, and I would also ask about the little dark ones. I think they call them colds or something like that. And the only people I've come up with so far is the Nordics. No grays or any other species. That I got to throw in. That's so far that I could do an interview tomorrow and that might change. But last couple of years, I've only gotten Nordics.
Same here.
George can do. Has some interesting portal stories.
Portals exist, and part of our research during those years is when Dan was in town here in Shreveport, Bossier City, Louisiana, we would go to Mike Wood Park in Bossier City, which is a very large park. It's just off of Barksdale Air Force Base. And our attention was given to an area of the sky where I could see nothing. Nobody could see anything, but I would take a picture and the camera would show one or more objects. And this began a process of, okay, every time I'm at the park, I'll go to this same location. I'll recreate that photograph. I see nothing in the sky. It's just this natural sky. But about 7 out of 10 photographs, there will be either a glowing orb or there will be maybe a brick-shaped black object. Could be a V-shaped object. Just a lot of activity in this one area. And Dan and I were exploring it with the pendulum and basically were led, this is a portal. And there's a lot of activity going in and out of that particular point near Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City. And to this day, I continue checking on it. In fact, I was out yesterday and took the camera, took the picture. I don't see anything. But, lo and behold, there's a series of objects up in the sky that the camera can see. So that lends credence to the existence of portals. And that would be a means by which the sky people can access the villages back in history. Because the portals can be permanent. They can be manufactured, apparently.
We ran into a portal situation with the UFO book on Lindsay Higgins. She grew up in an area that was very important to the Native Americans back in Louisiana. It wasn't a ceremonial site or anything, but it was a very important source of clean, pure water. And George and I were out there, and we did our pendulum work and discovered that there was a portal above that particular bayou in Louisiana, and that some of the craft that came to visit her came through that portal. And that the portal had been there for quite a long time. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, George, but didn't we find out that the portal was there before the Earth?
That's the information. How we can frame that consciously, I'm not sure. But yeah, the information was the portal existed before the planet Earth. So whatever.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards. Ever. But the portal, as it turned out, it was, when Lindsay grew up on this particular property, there was that kind of activity with the portal, and that's what she was perceiving. She was actually seeing not only craft, but individuals who are going in and out of the portal that was above their property. As hard as it is to believe, that does explain how young Lindsay was seeing these very strange individuals look out her window and see three gray faces, if you will, indistinct. But in order for their faces to be in her window, they would have to be 10, 12 feet tall. Just strange stuff. And her aunt lived next door. She had a very favorite aunt, now deceased, and we had great conversations with her as a part of the investigation. But her aunt validated that, there was this activity. That's what Lindsay was seeing. And so little Lindsay wasn't making up stuff. She was just describing what she was actually seeing.
So
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I was going to say, at least from your guys' experience, does it seem that when it comes to these like portal locations, do like the natives talk about there being like the ancestors that come out of these things, or is it specifically like these other types of beings? Like I'm kind of curious if there might be different types of portals depending on, I guess, what type of beings is coming through it. Like maybe more of like a spiritual portal that links to like the afterlife type realm, and that's where you'd have like the ancestral areas. And then there might be like a different portal that is, rather than linking to another realm, might actually be linking to somewhere else within your reality. And that might be where some of these like extraterrestrial type beings are coming from, is rather than, I mean, there's definitely the possibility that they are coming from another reality, but assumably, you know, there might not be one doorway that everything comes through, but different doorways that connect from point A to point B. And that's why it seems like there's certain phenomena linked with certain portal areas.
Yeah, could be.
That appears to be the case. Yeah.
We did have a real interesting experience at that particular site. We went out there with one of our mediums. And again, I told you this was important to the Native American Caddo Indians. This would be about 1811, somewhere around then, where clear water, pure water was extremely important at that particular time. And the Indians came to that area. And then there was a certain crisis passed, and then they went back to their normal villages. But some of the Indians stayed there, the Caddo Indians stayed there, and we encountered six Native American Caddo Indians at that site, spirits. And we asked them, well, why are you here? And they said, we're just kind of keeping an eye on the place. It was very, it wasn't sacred, but it was very important to them. And we were talking to them and said, well, you know, you don't have to stay here. The family that owns this place is going to take very good care of it. So if you want to cross over, you can. And so, you know, we talked to them and said, you know, you can stay if you want to, obviously, but if you want to cross over, go ahead and cross over. So as we're leaving, our medium turns around. We're about to get into our cars, and she looks back about 50 yards, and she said, oh, three of the Indians are waving bye-bye. So, they figured that the place was in good hands, and so, you know, they're going to happy hunting ground in the east.
Just out of curiosity, did you guys happen to get any type of like description on what may be on the other side of these potential portal locations?
Oh God, yes. I had to backtrack. How this started was, I did a lot of, still do, but I was heavily involved in finding missing persons using the pendulum dowsing, and I got involved in making contact with the spirit world. And I wrote a book called the Paranormal Pendulum, Book One. And while we're searching that, and George was like my right-hand man in all of that, because I wanted to make sure that I was accurate in every chapter that I wrote. And it's a basic how-to. You know, this is how you can use a pendulum to contact the dearly departed. At the end of that book, it occurred to me that I had a ton of information about what it's like on the other side. And so I put that together. It's like a 350 page book about, you know, what it's like when you cross over. Do you go in the white light? What's it like on the other side? You know, what happens? What do you do? Can you come back? Is there something to reincarnate? You know, orbs, you know, the whole schmear, so to speak. And that book was the Paranormal Pendulum 2, which led to, eventually, you know, the Paranormal Pendulum 3, the Lindsay Higgins book. But, yeah, that information wasn't coming through portals. It was with direct interviews with the deceased. There were no portals involved. It was just, we would have a session. Is there anybody here? We'd get a yes, and then can we talk to you? Get a yes, and then we'd conduct an interview, just like you're conducting an interview with me and George.
So, on the other side, did they describe it as kind of like what people would describe as like a heavenly place, or is it more so like a purgatory type realm, or is it something that's just like unfathomable, like from our comprehension, where it kind of gets into more of like how people describe like almost like the psychedelic kind of realm, where like physics don't necessarily work how they work in our reality, and things are more so, I guess, don't necessarily have like a definite shape or a substantial way that they work, but rather that they function in a higher dimension than, again, we can actually process or understand how reality would function in that fashion.
Yeah. Well, George came across a phrase. It's someone who crossed over said, I feel like I'm everywhere at once and I love it. And we asked that question and said, is that a feeling you get when you cross over? And again, consistently, we got a yes. In terms of what it's like on the other side, the story that, you know, Mom and Dad and Uncle Fred and Fido are going to be there waiting for you, that's pretty consistently accurate. And what George and I have come up with is just basically the transition from our five senses to total sensory overload when you get across on the other side is so much, so powerful, so fast. There's kind of a transition there. You got a friendly, you know, friendly realm, friendly people kind of ease you into it. And at that point, once you've kind of adjusted, you don't get your wings, you don't get your pitchfork. You have all kinds of options available to you. You can stay on that area. You can come back to the earth. You can revisit pleasant places. If you're ready for spiritual advancement, there are, we use the phrase seminars. And we got a yes on that. So if you want to continue your spiritual advancement, if you're ready, you can do that on the other side.
And when they say like spiritual advancement, what does that entail? Is that like maybe somewhat of like you start creating like your own reality kind of a concept, or you're able to like transverse between other realities and other realms, or like have you guys kind of figured out exactly what that entails?
Figured out? No.
I'm sorry, that's above our pay grade.
See, I'm kind of curious about that, because one concept that I've kind of thrown a few times is the possibility of essentially after you pass that you'd get the ability to create other realities. And maybe that's kind of where the concept comes from of there being so many different endless possibilities of different realities, is rather that like when a consciousness passes, he can either choose to stay within the reality that it's comfortable with and knows and almost be like a spectator to it. Or if you get the option to almost go into a place that's like a blank void and create a new reality. And I mean, maybe that's how the phenomenon has continued on through time, was that, you know, maybe the grays as we perceive them weren't around a couple hundred years ago. Maybe there's something that was created with time kind of being like a weird concept, that it may move faster in other realities than, oh, we lost him now. But time not necessarily moving the same within all realities, but yeah, just kind of a weird thing to comprehend and possibly think about is just people/consciousness having the ability to create realities and then continuously stack them on top of each other and create this multidimensional concept.
I think the most noticeable aspect, based on what you were alluding to, is that once that transition is made, we're no longer physical. We no longer have that need for time. Which in three dimensions, you have to have time if you're going to have separation of up, down, left, right, top, bottom, and whatnot, so that the creations are instantaneous. And that seems to be something that is distinctly noted, that, whoa, hello, I thought that and there it is. So it's a different aspect of living, but you're still you. That's something has been very consistent in the research I've done on the subject, that you're still you.
See, I'm kind of curious if substances such as like peyote, for example, may have been one of those herbal things that these sky people may have given the natives, or told or made them aware of them, considering the fact that it seems like a lot of the descriptions on how those other realities work basically fits kind of like how you're describing it, that like things are almost like created through like speaking, through vibration, through frequency, and it basically will be created out of nothingness, which is a concept that doesn't necessarily work in our reality. But if you're going into a higher reality, you know, our the way our reality works doesn't function the same there. So things can appear out of nowhere, and you can essentially keep creating reality. And then that's where you get into the weird concept about if the reality above us creates the reality that we're residing in, that possibly some of these beings that are the next step higher than us are actually creating things that function in our reality. And it's kind of like, you know, how we would draw something for like the 2D reality.
It could be that what we've run into with the higher spiritual, we've run into spirits a lot. I mean, you know, George and I have had a lot of conversations with spirits, but we've also encountered, for lack of a better term, highly spiritually evolved beings. And our experience with them has been extremely positive, highly emotional, and I would say inspiring and uplifting. And their purpose apparently was basically helpful. You know, they're not down here playing games with us, or, you know, we're not chessboards, pieces on the chessboard. They're actually trying to help us become better people.
Yeah, like spirit guides, or like trying to kind of not necessarily tell people what to do, but kind of push them along the path. Because of course people have free will, but you know, there are forces out there that kind of try to steer you in the right direction, but still giving the ability to create your own choices and free will.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a friend who, he does, you know, prison ministries. And I say, yeah, you have a guardian angel. I have a power animal. Same thing.
Yeah. Just different
terminology. Same thing.
And I mean, that could even be a matter of perception too, that it seems like people perceive things from different in different ways. And such as when you're talking about things that are coming from other realities, you know, people might look at them different ways depending on like what your background is with it. So, you know, somebody might see something that's more of like an angelic being, where somebody else might see something that's more of like an animal being, because those things that are coming from a higher reality don't appear to be showing themselves in their true form, but rather something that you're comfortable with. Which is even getting into like the angelic concept too, that people like describe angels as being like humanoids with wings. But when you look into like the more biblical depiction of them, they're like these rotating wheels with a bunch of different eyes and wings. So of course they have to try to create a form that people are going to be comfortable with and not be completely freaked out or not even be able to comprehend it. Because if you can't comprehend what you're looking at, you're definitely not going to sit there and actually try to understand communication between the two of them. So they have to show themselves in a form that's comfortable with you. But then on the other side of that too, it's like you got to hope that whatever is taking that form is something that's steering you in the right direction and not trying to trick you into thinking that it's something good and then steering you in the wrong direction possibly.
But one, I don't think we could handle as human beings with our senses, I don't think we could handle a full onslaught of one of those beings as he, she, they, it is. I don't think we're capable of handling that. But our experiences have been, I think, if it was evil or with bad intent, I think we would have felt it. Because what we felt is, one of our mediums described it as mother love. I just don't think mother love is going to lead us into a wrong direction. And I don't think you can fake that.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was about to say. It seems like it's something that wouldn't be faked. It seems like if there was something that was trying to steer you in a negative direction, it might be kind of giving you more of that like big brother kind of feel maybe to it, where like the motherly love is absolutely pure, but like the follow me, I'm your leader kind of bond, you don't necessarily know which way that could go. It all depends on the person's perception of that person that they're following.
Yeah, we had George had a Field of Dreams moment with me last year. We went out to a friend's house who was a very talented psychic. And I'm sitting at, there's a hill going down to a small creek and then a hill going up. And I just said, you know, there are people on the other side of that creek. There are a lot of people over there. She said, that's your clan. Said, you used to live there, a thousand years ago. Those are all your people. They've come here to see you. You basically come home. And so I said, well, I got to go down there. And so she walked me about halfway down. Then I got to the creek, and I swear to God, you can't fake this. A feeling of welcome home just waved through me. You know, again, it's not like, you know, how you get worked up at a political speech or something like that, how you get worked up. This wasn't like that. This was just, I was walking and then whoom, welcome home. And so I turned around and looked at George. And I'm going to cross the creek. I did the little thing. And George said, when I got back, he said, I wasn't really sure whether or not you were coming back, going into the cornfield.
See, that's one of those things, too, that's super common when it comes to, again, the psychedelic experience and even, like, the near-death experience, is the fact that the feeling is so comfortable and warm and happy that people don't necessarily want to go back, and it takes those beings on the other side to say, all right, you've gotten what you need now, but you need to go back because you still have something that you need to do over on your side. One day you'll be here, but today is not that day, so go back.
Yeah, I firmly believe that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just glad it came out, because there was no way I could explain what happened to his wife. Okay.
The question is, did he walk through a portal, or did something come from the sky and pick him up? Because you have no reference on where to start or where to go on that point, because who knows which way he could have went.
We'll let you know, because we're going back.
Oh yeah, definitely keep me updated on that. I definitely want to hear about that again.
Actually, that's going to be a chapter in the upcoming book, and very specifically, we want to wrap up that story of Dan's experience at that village 1,000 years ago. Because what the information we've got so far, it was a hopping place, and it was a pretty, a few deaths were described, and we want to get more information about how that occurred. So definitely we will be getting more information about Dan and his hill.
Apparently I have a family there. We'll see. We'll let you know.
Just out of curiosity too, Dan, do you have like native heritage where even if it's like far along in your bloodline that there is like a solid connection for you with like this physical reality versus possibly just the concept of like soul groups where you may not be blood related to those ancestors, but you're related to them in some other consciousness type related way?
Yeah, well, I'm not related to the cattle, but I'm a 16th Cherokee on both sides.
Oh yeah, so you do have the physical connection to the land then. And have you checked your lineage to see if that is like the exact place where your native heritage comes from?
It could be because it's possible. It's possible. Because one, the Cherokees were run off and driven back through here on the way to Texas, so it's possible.
I was going to say I actually have Cherokee lineage too, and my grandma would always tell me the stories when I was growing up of like the Trail of Tears, for example, because, you know, they started off over on the East Coast and essentially got pushed all the way over. And they were like one of the Cherokee groups, or not Cherokee groups, but one of the native groups that seemed to have gotten the worst treatment out of any of them, because when they pushed them along that path, you know, they were walking, they were on horses. If people fall over and died, then they fell over and died. They didn't have resources. They didn't have supplies. They got pushed through cold conditions. So they just absolutely got the worst end of the stick for trying to be one of the last to actually stand up and actually protect their native land. And it's one of those stories that the more you dive into, like the worse it gets, that there is, there's no way to ever make people feel better about the situation. Like it was just one of those times in history that when it comes to like US history, you try to kind of brush over it and you don't get too much into details of it because it was such a negative, awful part of our American history.
Well, the Supreme Court said that, you know, the Cherokees have a right to stay where they were. And Andrew Jackson said, up your Supreme Court, I'm kicking them out.
I think that was part of the problem, too, was the fact that they actually tried to use legal grounds to try to protect their land. And when you try to use the, quote, white man's rules back against him, they're not going to take too kindly to that because they're using those rules in order to take over your area in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Because I know my grandma used to tell me that we're part of the Red Clay, and she said that basically because of that whole situation, they were never actually officially recognized as a tribe, as that like kind of just last FU type of thing that they were trying to do as far as, again, them trying to stand up and legally take their land and then getting pushed out of the way. Then they didn't get any recognition after that because they didn't, again, like the fact that they tried to use their own rules and regulations against them.
We might have to look into that someday. So far, our experience has been primarily with Native Americans of, 700 to 1,500 years ago, and then 4,000 years ago and on back. You know, before the white man officially showed up.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess you could count the Nordics as white. They're blind, blue-eyed.
I mean, even when you go into like the natives from like South America, for example, when like the conquistadors and everybody were coming too, they talked about there being like fair-skinned beings that taught them things, that gave them technology. And when they showed up, then they assumed that they were the same and they were coming to give them more gifts and actually interact with them again. And in turn, they obviously ended up conquering all of them. So even within that, it shows that it wasn't just in America, like North America. It went all the way down to South America where they were seeing these tall, white humanoid beings that almost looked, again, like how we perceive like Europeans to look, and the Nordics as, again, as we describe when it comes to the extraterrestrial phenomenon.
Yeah, that would have been Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, South America and Mexico, George and I both, each of us have run into missionaries from the South coming up here. In fact, not too long ago, I was out in an area not too east of Phoenix, in the foot in the shadow of the Superstition Mountains, and there's several village sites out there. They're rubble mounds now, but I was doing some research for our book out there, and I encountered what they called a priestess, and she had come up from Mexico to bring the religious culture. She was basically a missionary from, you know, from Mexico coming up here. And I recorded an interesting EVP while I was out there. Keep in mind, I'm miles and miles from anybody. And I got the word tuna, female voice. So I'm assuming that that was the name of the priestess. I can't say for sure, but it was a definite clear voice, female voice, tuna.
Have you tried to look it up? I'm assuming that probably if you look up tuna, maybe there's other different variations how to spell it, but that might be kind of like a hard word to look up because, of course, it's going to try to autocorrect to it being the fish.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious if you found a way to look it up or possibly try to type it different ways, if there might possibly be like a native meaning to that word. Because even within that, I mean, it could definitely be a name that has a meaning behind it regardless.
Could be. Again, you're talking 1,000 years ago, so it would be hard to find out. I haven't come across anything yet. It was just the one word, but I found it interesting because, I was miles from anybody. And it's a digital recorder, so it's not picking up radio waves or something. But it was interesting that I was finding out about a priestess and I got a female voice, which I found that really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask and they'll come, kind of like you were saying with Field of Dreams. You build it and they'll come.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
So I guess before we start kind of wrapping up, since we were talking about the new book and everything, before we get into the words of wisdom and all of that, is there anything else that you guys would like to tease as far as your new book is coming? Or give, again, people kind of like a rough idea on what you guys might be kind of starting to wrap up with so they kind of know where the book's going to lead into?
George, help.
They'll be as surprised as we will be.
From my perspective, we don't know. We haven't a clue. We're just we're amassing information. And as far as the direction, I really don't know where it's going to go. We're letting them lead us. As you would learn in the Paranormal Pendulum 3 book, I think we're being guided by spirits. I think people on the other side are guiding me and George to do this type of work for some altruistic reason. But I think mm-hmm. we're definitely being not manipulated, but guided.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's what I was talking about earlier too in the show. Yeah, was the fact that there's a story that needs to get out. It needs to be told because it's been hidden in history for thousands of years at this point.
Well, yeah, consider that. You know, there you got a situation where you got two riders. One of them was a big wheel with MUFON, and the other's, you know, kind of this crazy guy out in Arizona, who's publishing books. We're in the right place at the right time to get a message out to a large audience.
Oh, yeah, and combining two different aspects of research seems to be where a lot of stuff's going now, that people are realizing that there's not dividing walls between all of this different research, but rather that everything starts to blend together at a certain point.
It's all connected.
Yeah, and I'll also add as a wrap that if it wasn't for Dan's pendulum dowsing skills, the book would not have happened.
Hey, with that one too, the next book, is the working title for it going to be The Paranormal Pendulum 4?
Working title?
Probably not. We don't really know. We haven't got to the title yet. We don't even know what's going to be in the book.
Well, I guess I'll have to...
It might be The Adventures of Dan and George.
Hey, that'd be perfect because it's not wrong. It really is The Adventures of you guys.
Well, that's true. That is true.
Say, when you guys end up releasing that book and everything, I'll have to have you guys come back on and, you know, possibly say the name, talk about even more of the research and where everything's leading off to, because I'm sure by the time that book comes out, you guys will already be working on the next one. But as of right now, at least, to kind of wrap stuff up a little bit, I always like to leave with some words of wisdom. So if there's any words of wisdom that both you guys could bestow on the listeners today, what might it be?
George, you're the wise one.
If life isn't fun, you're doing it wrong.
Ain't that the truth?
Absolutely. Yeah, my words of wisdom would be it's an enormous universe, and you can taste an awful lot of it if you're just willing to take the leap, and it's worth it.
Definitely, very awesome words of wisdom, and definitely the truth. And of course, if anybody wants to come and find you guys, possibly even share some of their stories with you, come and check out your books from both you guys, the stuff you guys write together and the stuff you guys write individually. Where can everybody come and find all your guys' work at?
All my books, the fiction and the nonfiction and the work that George and I have done, they're available wherever you buy your books, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all the distributors, you can look us up. We're everywhere.
So I appreciate you guys making the time to come on today, and I'm looking forward to next time. It's always fun chatting with you guys. It was fun last time, and it was just as fun this time. And next time, I'm sure it'll be even more fun when you guys are digging into even more research and bring some more stuff to the table.
I promise we'll make it make it interesting for you.
No doubt in my mind.
Absolutely.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. Greatly appreciate you guys when you do that. And if you guys leave a 5-star review, then I will read it on the show, of course, and give you guys a big shout out. And anybody that you guys think might enjoy this episode, I don't care if they're a friend, I don't care if they're an enemy, coworkers, cousins, family, all of that. Share the show with them. Keep expanding the show, because the only way it's ever going to happen is with your guys' help, which I greatly appreciate. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to be a guest on the show, you want to share some fan art, you possibly just want to have a conversation in general, you want me to be a guest on your show, you want to sponsor the show, any of that awesome stuff, you guys can get a hold of me through social media. Instagram and Facebook are the ones I am the most active on. Or you guys can email me at inquiriesofallrealitypodcast.outlook.com. Or if you guys are looking for podcast production services, you guys can email me at open_minds_media@outlook.com. Or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form. There are multiple submission forms depending on what you're trying to contact me for. So make sure you guys click on the right one. And I do respond to every single message that I get from you guys. So make sure you guys check your spam or junk folders and make sure that nothing got missed in the process. And everything that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with 2 tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt. A classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.